Welcome to the Office of the Public Guardian podcast. My name is Laura and I work in the communications team. Thank you for choosing to listen. I'm here today with Trudy Brown and Jackie Lees, if you'd like to introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Jackie and I've worked at the Office of the Public Guardian for 3 years and really value the work that we do here.
Hiya, I'm Trudy and I've worked in various OPG roles for over 5 years.
Wonderful, thank you. We hope you find this podcast informative and possibly entertaining. So we're discussing today how to sign your last in power of attorney, especially around the COVID-19 social distancing sort of rules and regulations. So my first question is, can you still make a last in power of attorney?
Certainly you can. And it is just as important now than it's ever been. Both Trudy and I have been attorneys during this pandemic and have found it really useful. A lasting power of attorney is designed to allow people to help you make decisions if you're unable. In some cases, they might make decisions on your behalf, and you can create a lasting power of attorney for finances or one for health.
Yeah, it's really important to appoint people that you trust and trust that you understand them well enough and understand their role. It's also important to ensure that you tell them just how you want them to act and what's your preferences and instructions, if for example, in terms of your treatment you might have when you're using your health and welfare lasting power of attorney, or for financial decisions when you're using the financial lasting power of attorney.
So you've mentioned instructions and preferences. So what can you include as part of this?
Well, the donor can add preferences about how they'd like their money and property to be managed. So if the donor wants to write preferences, it's really important to use words such as prefer and would like. So it's clear that the donor is giving the attorney's guidance, but not instructions. So it's better not to use words like must and shall.
Yeah, I can actually think of some examples there, Jackie. So if you allow me, I'll just share those with you.
Yes, please.
So I was thinking I would like to maintain a minimum balance of £1,000 in my current account, for example. Or I prefer to invest in ethical funds. And then another one, which is great, thinking about donations to charity, is I would like to donate £50 each year to Aid UK.
Yeah, thank you, Trudy. Those are really good examples. I can think of some for maybe if I was doing a health and welfare power of attorney. So I might say that I prefer to live within 5 miles of my sister. Or I would like to take exercise at least 3 times a week whenever I'm physically able to do so.
The other thing I was thinking about as well was preferences for life-sustaining treatment.
Yeah.
So, if the donor chooses to give the attorneys the power to make decisions about life-sustaining treatment, they can actually add preferences about this too. This can help the attorneys when they make decisions that are close as possible to the decisions the donor would have made.
Oh, yeah. So the donor might write something, for example, like if I were in the last days of a terminal illness, I would only want treatment to make me comfortable. I wouldn't want treatment to prolong my life or that meant I couldn't die at home. And I guess that they could put that they'd like attorneys to consult family when making decisions about life-sustaining treatments. Attorneys should really pay attention to the donor's preferences, though they don't have to follow them. And of course, a donor doesn't have to put any preferences on the life-sustaining treatment. Their attorneys can just act in their best interests without any preferences.
Yeah, and in contrast to that, if you think about instructions, so I was thinking the donor could add instructions about how they'd like their money and property to be managed on their financial lasting power of attorney. If the donor wants to write instructions, the difference is that they will use words such as must, shall and have to.
Yeah, you're right. That's really important that they make that difference between must and shall. So I've got some examples I can think of on that say my attorneys must not make any gifts, or my attorneys must not sell my home unless, in my doctor's opinion, I can no longer live independently. And they could maybe put something in that was just particularly relevant to them, like my attorneys must send annual accounts to my brother and sister.
Yeah. And similarly with health and welfare, it's about those things that are really dear to your heart and things that they really must and have to adhere to. So I can think of one for me. My attorneys must ensure that I am fed a vegan diet with no animal products. I've also got a couple more I'm thinking of too. My attorneys must refer to my advanced decision to refuse treatment involving blood products, which is, of course, against my religion. Another one that's dear to my heart is my attorneys must not decide that I am to move into residential care unless my doctor says that I can no longer live independently.
And it's really important to get those in as instructions, isn't it?
It is to me, yes. And that's my advice, yes.
Well, that's really good. So once someone's kind of made their application and they've put in their instructions and their preferences, who do they need to kind of sign and witness this document?
Okay, so there's a lot of people that need to sign this document. The donors, the attorneys, the certificate providers and the witnesses. And the people involved in this lasting power of attorney must sign it in the correct order. This is really, really important. If they don't, the Office of the Public Guardian won't register it and you won't be able to use it. So the donor, which is the person creating the lasting power of attorney, must sign it before anybody else does. And if they've used a continuation sheet, one or two, the donor must make sure they've signed those as well before anybody else signs those and before the donor signs section 9. You can, of course, sign it all on the same day, but you must sign it before anybody signs anything else. And if you're making a health and welfare lasting power of attorney, there's an extra section in there about the life-sustaining treatment. And that has to be signed before you sign that section 9. That's because when you sign your section 9, you're forming a legal agreement with your attorneys. You're legally bound by everything written in the form up to this point, including the section 8, which is your legal rights and the declaration on this page. Trudy, carry on.
So, Jackie, can I just check the order of signing with you?
Yeah.
So are you telling me that the LPA must be signed in this order, that the donor must sign the LPA before anyone else?
That's right.
And they must sign section 5 of the LPA about life-sustaining treatment if it's for health and welfare and care decisions. And then if the continuation sheets 1 and 2 are used, section 9 of the LPA must be signed last.
That's absolutely right, because that's all part of the LPA. And when you sign section 9, that's you signing that legal agreement. So you have to have signed your section 5 and any continuation sheets first. But like I say, you can do it all on the same day.
And the other thing I was thinking, if you can't sign, so my dad, for example, can't sign, but he could make a mark like a cross. What about that? I believe there's some additional guidance for that on our web page.
That's absolutely right. If you can't sign, you can make a mark, but please do look at our additional guidance on this on our webpage, gov.uk/OPG.
Wonderful, thanks. So in terms of getting people to sign this document, can it be anyone or do you need specific people to sign specific things?
So no, anybody can't witness it. And we've got some really specific rules about that. So nobody under 18 can be a witness, and one of your attorneys can't be a witness either, or one of your replacement attorneys. And we also couldn't have an employee of a trust corporation that is your attorney or replacement attorney, if you were having a financial lasting power of attorney, be your witness either. It needs to be somebody independent.
Okay, and there's also this certificate provider as well as part of the application. So who can be a certificate provider?
Ah, let me take this one. This is my favourite. So a certificate provider is somebody who's impartial, who confirms that you understand what you're doing, and basically nobody's forcing you to make that lasting power of attorney. What they confirm is that you, the donor, understand the significance of the lasting power of attorney, that you haven't been put under any pressure whatsoever to make it. There has been no fraud involved in making the lasting power of attorney, and there's no other reason for concern. So you can imagine how important the certificate provider is.
Yeah, that's right. If possible, they should discuss your lasting power of attorney with you in private, without the attorneys or other people present, before they sign to certify their part of the lasting power of attorney. If you like, your certificate provider can witness your and your attorney's signatures. A certificate provider must be at least 18 years old and either a friend, a colleague, or someone you've known well for at least 2 years. They must be more than just an acquaintance. Or maybe your doctor or a lawyer or someone with the professional skills to judge whether you understand what you're doing and you're not being forced to make this lasting power of attorney.
Yeah, let me just build on that, Jackie. So basically, you've got your friend, your colleague from like a social environment, and then you've got a professional certificate provider. Am I right?
Yes, you are. That's right.
Okay. So there's quite a lot of people who can't be a certificate provider.
That's right.
So thinking about you, your attorneys and your replacement attorneys, you can't have any members of those families or employees or business partners, etc.
That's right, because they wouldn't be impartial.
That's right. And so there's a fuller list available on our webpage, again, gov.uk/OPG. And the certificate provider must sign, of course, after you, and can sign on the same day as the donor or as soon as possible thereafter.
Okay, that's great. So putting this into our current situation, there seems to be a lot of people who need to be in and around the area. So how could I get all these signatures and things whilst maintaining our social distancing regulations?
Okay, well, that's a really good question. There's some guidance on our website on social distancing, and you should follow that to satisfy our requirements when signing and witnessing a lasting power of attorney. However, there's some do nots. You mustn't use digital signatures. The document must be printed out and signed by hand with a black pen. And you cannot send people photocopies or scans of the lasting power of attorney to sign. Everyone must sign the same original document. And it's really important not to ask people to send you a scan or a photocopy of a page they've signed. We're not able to accept those, and we wouldn't be able to register a power of attorney that includes scans or copied pages. So you must make sure you follow the guidance on social distancing to sign documents. People must be able to clearly see you sign and date the relevant box.
If I'm making a lasting power of attorney and I need someone to witness that, could I use a video
chat?
I'll
take that one, Jackie. No. All signatures must be done in person with a black pen, as Jackie's just outlined. Okay. So basically, the witness must see the signature and date box before, during, and after you sign, and then they can proceed to immediately sign thereafter.
Fantastic. And if I follow all these, and hopefully it'll be approved and I'll get it back and it'll all be good to
That's right.
Wonderful. Thank you. Well, it's been very informative and super helpful, because I know quite a lot of people can struggle with the signing and the certificate providers. So thank you both very much for your help. So we hope that you also found it informative and interesting. If you do have any other questions, you can get in touch with us on 0300 456 0300, or you can email us at customerservices@publicguardian.gov.uk.